Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is that you're listening to this, Friday the 19th of September. At least that's what date it is right now, on the date of recording and release. Who knows when you might be listening to it. But regardless, thank you for listening to it. Last week we talked about countries. I'm very sorry to say that we didn't pick up a listener in North Korea. Urban myth has been debunked. However, we have accumulated new listeners not only in Ireland, but also in France, Spain, the UAE, in India, in Russia, in Hungary, in Italy, Canada, Australia, Brazil, and America. That is to go along with other places that have listened recently as well. And I would suppose that the next target is a listener from all 32 counties. And we're not just miles off that yet. So definitely something to look forward to from the stats side of things over the next couple of weeks. And first things first, we trained again on Sunday morning. Just gone. A rake of people came to Newry. And if you are listening from somewhere else in the world, wondering what is a rake of people, sometimes in Ireland we might use the word a rake to describe a large amount of people. You might also find Irish people saying a lock or lock. A lock, a lock of, or a hape of, to describe how many people attended something. We've now ran 3 of these days of training. In my opinion, they have been getting better each time we've done them. I'm biased, so of course I'm going to say that. Yeah, I think the thing that I'm helping to organise is getting better as we're going along. What a shock statement. Those that are consistently coming, they're getting to grips with it a little bit more and knowing what to expect. Those who came for the first time seemingly really enjoyed it. The feedback that we've gotten has been great. Or they're coming back and bringing new people with them, which is excellent as well. The main enjoyment from the people that I train with, the perspective that we've been getting, number one feedback, is everyone that has come to train with us has been really sound, which is great to hear. So we've been very lucky to have had zero dickheads, no arseholes. Everyone is friendly. Sorry for using the DH word to any of our underage listeners, but everyone has been friendly, welcoming, there just to get better. It's kind of crazy because in other combat sports, that is not always the case. Now, I've been around countless MMA events over the last 14 years. And I understand that the act of fighting is a lot more serious. But not only is the actual act a lot more serious, a whole host of supporting characters associated with the events also take themselves a lot more serious. And I'm sure, 100%, undoubtedly, there is a whole different dynamic, and rightfully so, you could argue, when it's involved punching, kicking, trauma, head damage. Of course, people's backs are going to be up a little bit more. But I suppose the point I'm just trying to make, I've heard of a lot of infighting within the sport of MMA over the years. And while, of course, jiu-jitsu has that as well, we've just been lucky when organizing these cross-training days that we've had none of it yet. So people got really good training in. We split it by weight for everything, including the positional sparring. Definitely made such a difference. A quick shout out to the legend as well, that is Reedy, and the rest of the guys from Newground and Fight Aesthetic UK. Sent us down a lot of nice drinks, vitamin waters, these isotonic type sport drinks as well that were snatched by everyone before I got one, and a lot of Volvic. So that is massively appreciated. It was all gone. Everyone enjoyed it. We also had chilled Coke Zeros, bit of fruit, curry and rice. I bought 10 bags of ice that morning for both injuries and also for cold drinks. And I kept adding bags of ice to the bucket that was holding the cans of Coke Zero as well. So what more could you ask for? So let's get on to this week's team. It's something that's been playing around in my head, and Wednesday kind of just smacked me straight in the face. So I thought, right, there we go. Topic decided. This is the post that I put up on Instagram. I lost a fair few rounds on Sunday and I got absolutely smoked this morning. If you can't roll with that as much as your good days, then you have no chance when it comes to compete. The biggest improvements for me came once I was at peace with the fact that there will always be someone better than me, always someone working harder or living better. So accept that there is someone somewhere in their preparation who wants it more than you, and become excited at the possibility of testing yourself against that person when it comes down to it on the day. Preparation and performance are two entirely different things. Now, when I tell you that I got slapped about the place on Wednesday, I got absolutely slapped about the place on Wednesday. I took Monday off, trained on Tuesday, felt all right to keep going into Wednesday, and not good. Just not good at all. Wednesday morning, normally a great session, really enjoy it, nobody's fault. I just was not firing on any cylinder at all. And I was very annoyed. Not annoyed as in like, oh, just annoyed. Annoyed is the wrong word. Irritated. Irritated about how I trained. That's all. So if we fast forward later on in that day, my day was put in perspective by somebody who has made a big transformation in my approaches to a lot of stuff with my training and competing and stuff like that. When I was explaining to them about the day, the message I got back was, how was your sleep last night? And I thought, what on earth would that have to do with? And then I was like, oh yeah, wait a minute. So I woke up at 2:45 in the morning to bring my dad to the bus heading to the airport. I went to sleep on the sofa at around 11:30 the night before, so I would wake up to make sure that he had woken up and then bring him to the bus. Next thing you know, it's 3:40. You're just back home. Bus was late. And you're wide awake until 4:45. Right? I then woke up at 8, lie around, doze back asleep, don't get up. Just miserable, feeling crap, blah, blah, blah. Just wanted to stay in bed. Don't move about. Don't get a solid morning routine in. Wake up naturally sort of thing. Eat a little bit before training, whatever. Rolled out of bed. Bought a coffee from a garage. Arrive a few minutes late to training. Just all over the place. All over the place. Now, hindsight would tell me that I should have skipped that training session and rested instead. However, I also think it's absolutely imperative to take some of these lickings when you're getting ready to compete. Like, the drive home, the dreaded drive home after a bad training session where you're literally just talking to yourself. It drives home the fact how important it is to be switched on and prepared when it comes to your sessions. It's not saying that you're not taking them seriously, but just how you need your ducks in a line. My coach ended up laughing at it afterwards when I told him that was bad. And he said, even more reason to go home, rest, and train better tonight. So let's break down that post again very quickly. The biggest improvements for me came once I was at peace with the fact there will always be someone better than me, working harder, or living better. Now, let's call a spade in that sense, right? That does not mean I do not have confidence in my training. Just be at peace with the things that you don't have control over. I can't control that somebody else has whatever amount of world-class training partners, world-class gym, X amount of support, this sponsor, that sponsor, financial freedom, free physio, sun in the back garden, whatever. Fair play to them. I'd love all of that, but I don't have it. This also doesn't mean that I don't think that I can't catch them, that I'm not delusional enough somewhere within me to think, wait a minute, they're human, they can be caught. Or that I'm not prepared to work diligently towards closing the gap as best as I can. At every belt, well, blew up, I have competed against some of the highest ranked and best athletes in the world. Blue, purple, brown and black. Right? In everything at life, there is always going to be someone better than you. You might be, what, 4-time world champion? You're not going to be forever. Someone is going to come along and beat you. generation after generation of boxing, MMA, all of these stories about people dethroning people, going out in their shield, living too long. Let's go back. John Jones takes the fight against Shogun on a couple of weeks' notice, and he destroys him. Becomes the youngest UFC world champion in history. Shogun was unbelievable at the time. Literally, this is just always going to happen. If you want to try and name someone who it didn't happen to, the reality is that they got out early because they knew it was going to happen to them. It just does not happen in stuff. You do not stay on top forever. And largely speaking, you do not go out on your own terms. So accept that there is somebody somewhere in their preparation who wants it more than you, and become excited at the possibility of testing yourself against that person when it comes down to it on the day. So that's in my head, and it's something I believe in massively, because I have competed against someone who was trying to change their life, get out of a situation in Brazil, make something better for themselves. He won the Europeans that year, bet me in the first round. Had never felt anything like it, to be honest, at the time. And then a couple of years later, one of the bigger freakout moments I had was as a brown belt, 4 or 5 years ago at the Europeans. The last one before COVID. But I was making some terrible decisions. Not only leading up to the fight, or leading up to the tournament, the months leading up to it, other tournaments that had gone wrong. Had a wasted trip to Spain in November, just before that. I was a fresh brown belt. Like, the days leading up to it, the week of the tournament, the night before, barely any sleep, wandering around Lisbon at all hours, carrying on, not in the most ideal way. Just self-sabotage, right? I'm not a drinker, so I'm not just, like, get that out there. I wasn't out bananas the night before competing or anything, but got to the venue the next morning. My gi failed the gi check, so I'm running around the arena, and I do think it was someone I know, Nathan from Belfast, who lent me his gi. I then head back to the bullpen, completely panicking, get through, have to go straight down to the mat, first match of the day. I had a match, and whilst hyping all of this out earlier on, I watched the match back, taking these notes, and I can confirm to this day, this match still annoys me. Still annoys me. And the one thing that sticks out to me the most is that about a minute into the match, Gui Mendes is at the barrier watching me and my opponent. He's watching this match for about 90 seconds. Then he realizes, ha, neither of these lads are up to much. That's all right. Walks away. So whoever won between me and my opponent would be competing against the number one seed, which was one of his top students in the next match, one of the Rodriguez's at the time. Now, watching this match back, I had what I consider 3 to 4 match-ending situations in that match. And I still got submitted. Lost the triangle. Lost an armbar. Should have really finished a choke from the back. Lost the back position. And there was a loop attempt. Loop choke attempt in there as well. I still got submitted. And I lost about 6 minutes in. Right, pure gassed. Would have gotten highlight reel in the second match against the world-class competitor. However, I can remember overlooking that first guy so much, just thinking that I was going to get to compete against this guy from AOJ. And then seeing Gui Mendes at the mat, being like, he's here to look and see what's happening. That's insane. But I wanted that experience of competing against a world-class competitor so much, especially at a big tournament. Now, my performance was not good because of my preparation. And I suppose the main, or one of the major things that I can take away from that now, is how proud I am of the 180 degree turn that I've done in so many areas of my life, and take so much more of this, take a lot of this way more serious. Like, knowing now, watching that, I would very comfortably beat that version of myself. And the reality is that's what you should always need to be working towards anyway, to try and get better than what you were. But I did say in the post that preparation and performance are two entirely different things. And what I mean by that is that there are people on this planet who are able to self-sabotage and have such an all-around ability, like an aura, or just whatever you want to call it. I am him, if you want to go by the popular meme. And I don't like the word, but call it talent if you want. I don't, but you can. Call it talent if you want. The most talented person in the world who self-sabotages and still wins. Now, we have mentioned him. So, John Jones is the main example that keeps coming back in this type of situation. He would have been drinking during his camps, partying, carrying on a week before the fight, and still beating the absolute breaks of the best fighters in the world one after another, who had dedicated months solely towards trying to beat him. And now, while his preparation might not have been ideal all around the board, I have no doubt that he is a fantastic athlete who gave a huge amount of time of his life in terms of developing and doing everything right earlier on in his career. Maybe he was a wild man the entire time. Maybe the movie that comes out about him or the book that comes out about him will just completely turn everything around I've just said. But the ultimate fact is that it's his performances that gave him the difference. Some people, as we said, in other avenues of life, they just thrive under pressure. Think of the man. So when we're talking about people that thrive under pressure, think of the man that works at an auctioneer's. Okay? That's pressure. And you can tell by the tone, you can tell by how they speak, that is pressure. High impact sport, for example, fast-paced sport, those commentators, they work under pressure. Fair play to them. But the man at the, oh my God, I've forgotten the name of it already, auction, the man at the auction, that's a man that has to thrive under pressure. The do or die type moment, where they have to take responsibility, perform under this pressure, and they thrive under it. Thrive it. And I have seen, witnessed this firsthand, up close and personal. It is an insane thing to try and wrap your head around about how somebody can be so calm in chaos and just make it look easy. Easy. These people, the freaks that they are, they believe everything they say, and flexing the confidence muscle is half the battle. Believing it is the other half. Confidence, which is much like performance, has to be somewhat backed by preparation. You can say all you want, but the people that really know that they're backing up their confidence, whether it's preparation, verbal or otherwise, interviews, whatever, they know how much they've trained. Tiny little building blocks daily, doing the right things for the majority of the time, making sure that you're working towards it bit by bit, chopping away. Before you know it, they have a 20-foot wall built out of confidence blocks that have been formed by the greatest stonemason of all things in the world. And it's those bit by bit by bit by bit by bit that just add on to everything and make these people unstoppable. So the counter to yesterday's crap training session, I took a much slower day today, taught a class early on in the morning, cleaned the house, buzzing with that, lay out in the sun, buzzing with that, had a huge bowl of Cocoa Pops that caused a little bit of a reaction online. And I will just say, I had about 1.5 or 1¾ left in terms of portion size in the bag. So I wouldn't have thanked you for what was going to be left in the bag after I had a bowl. So I just lamped it all into the pot anyway. Easy. Had it outside. Had it a good while before training. Sat in the sun then afterwards. Listened to a podcast. Sitting on the chair. It was brilliant. And then tonight I feel like I trained entirely different. Really, really well. Kept a good pace. Couple of shark tanks. Fantastic. Complete polar opposite from the other day. And when this is released, just as I'm waking up, none of that will matter. What I did yesterday will not matter. But I will have stored the confidence block from how I bounce back. Knowing that, okay, what you did on Wednesday, not a reflection. What you did on Thursday, better reflection. And again, none of it will matter. Because tomorrow I'm going to have 3 more training sessions. And just as easily, I can get smoked in one of them. And that's absolutely fine. You have to take the good with the bad. Realize that what matters, at least what happens in my eyes, is what happens on the day. And that is definitely something that we'll talk about in the future, no doubt. When it comes down to it, you've no choice but to go out and do it. To be there, to go out and do it. And even in defeat, do you know, you're going to want to go out having tried, because that doesn't stay with you as long as not trying will. All right, so, and as I was finishing all of this up, there you go, just full circle. It's nice how it works like that. We are expecting huge news in the world of boxing soon. Dana White is promoting a fight in the Three Arena tonight, and he gave a press conference, a Callum Walsh fight. He gave a press conference on Thursday where he said he doesn't say he's going to do something unless he's going to do it. And now he has confirmed that he will be getting involved in boxing. And there are rumours floating around that it will be Turki Al-Sheikh from Saudi Arabia who's going to work with him. And there's also rumours saying that he's going to consider buying up a couple of other promotions. And Dana will help to run them and promote them and be the face, the flagship of it and stuff like that. So I would love to know more about that. Maybe talk more about that side of things as well too. MMA, combat sports, whatever. We'll see how we get on. But I will admit, I have been quite pleased with the people who have contacted me over the last couple of weeks, who used to watch my stuff or listen to the old Severe MMA podcast from years and years ago, almost 10 years ago. Do I have the same charm as I did as a 21-year-old? Maybe not as much. And I'm much uglier too. But, and I also don't have Sean Sheehan here with me. My crutch. My verbal crutch. My favourite man from Limerick. But it has been very invigorating to be doing this again. And I am glad that I did. And with time, more episodes, more stuff to talk about. Hopefully whoever's listening to this at that stage as well will be glad that I decided to do it again as well. And again, thank you especially to all of the people that have annoyed me and encouraged me to do it again. They didn't fall on deaf ears. Just took me a little while. And as I've said that to finish, typing these notes, flicking through Instagram, and up pops this clip between Ariel Helwani and Anthony Joshua over in England. So I'm going to play you the audio of the bit of this interview that sticks out the most. Hopefully I'm allowed to play this audio. Haven't done this in an episode yet, so let's get it on.
What is the difference between this Anthony Joshua and the one who fought there 4 years ago?
Mature. 4 years is a long time. More mature. More training camps. Thicker skin, where I've been fighting tougher opponents and so on. Had my bumps and bruises along the way. Coming back stronger. Yeah, standing tall now.
I love the fact that you started with mature. I have to say, watching you all week, it's been a joy. You seem so calm, cool, collected, but also grateful for the journey and so comfortable in your own skin. It really feels like you, in the midst of this chaos, are enjoying it all and in your own world. Is that a fair assessment of where you're at right now?
Yeah, life goes on, life continues. So I don't put too much pressure on the moment ahead of me. Living in the present, then when that moment comes on Saturday, I'll be present and then we'll be on to the next challenge, so I don't overcomplicate the situation anymore.
Life goes on. Life continues. Live in the present, and when the moment comes, be present. Nearly very similar to what I was talking about with the preparation is important, but the performance is a whole other different thing. Performance is being present.